Welcome back to the Made It in Music podcast. I'm Riley Taylor, our community manager here at Full Circle Music, and I'm so excited for you to hear this upcoming episode because today I'm talking with Alex Akimov about AI and music promotion. Alex migrated to the U.S. when he was 19 and transitioned from touring guitarist to pioneering music manager. Together with his wife, Lonnie, they used early social platforms to elevate the fame of boy band New District. In 2017, Alex launched Simple Social, a digital marketing agency for global artists, and later founded Sound.me in 2022, an AI-powered platform transforming influencer collaborations and music promotion with nearly 1 million users. This was recorded along with our live online audience from our Song Chasers community. You can learn more about songwriting and find other music industry resources at fullcirclemusic.com. For now, let's dive into the episode.
All right. Good morning, everybody. How we doing? We got a great session today with Alex Akimov, and he has the company advertising.me by Simple Social, which is marketing and analytics solutions for the music industry. So we're going to get a little nerdy today, which is always fun. We're going to get into the weeds on some music marketing stuff. Everybody, give me a little quick hand raise if you could always use more help with music marketing out there. Anybody out there? If you're not raising your hand, you're just lying, because that's all of us. So, hey, appreciate y'all being here. Alex, thanks for being here with us this morning.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So before we jump into to your company and what you're doing, maybe just give us your 5 minute your story. How did you get to where you're at? Where are you from? What made you interested in the music industry? And how did you decide to combine that with marketing and analytics?
Oh yeah, for sure. So I moved to LA back in 2006, I think. Yeah, 2006. And I came to play guitar. So I got my BA in classical music in Russia. I'm from Russia originally. Not a friendly country at the moment, but back then it was, I promise you. Back then it was fine. So I came in 2006 and I was like, all right, cool. I graduated the college. I was like 18, 17, right? So I graduated the college, got my BA. All right, cool. I know classical music, no composition. I want to do more. I want to play guitar. I want to be a rock star, right? So what am I going to do? So I'm going to go to, you know, US, because that's where the music is. That's where the music scene is. So I submitted to a bunch of colleges and I submitted a bunch of applications, you know, by mail. Back then I sent tapes, like the tapes, you know, so that's what I've sent to people, not CDs, even tapes. And I got accepted to two schools. I got accepted to Berklee College of Music and I got accepted to LA Music Academy. So I've decided that Boston school, but cold, and like, you know, I'm coming from Russia, which is cold already. So why don't we, you know, choose something else? Palm trees, the beach, and it would be cool. So I'm going to move to LA. So I came to LA to study music. And I toured, I played guitar. I did all these things for quite a few years. And then, you know, I started doing session work and things like that. So then I've decided to, you know, I've been touring a lot, right? So in the tours took a lot of times, because that's how musicians make money. You know, studios are dead pretty much. You know, there's not that many studios. All session work is taken and it's occupied. It's really hard to get those gigs. So touring, that's where the majority of the income would come from. And I've been touring, you know, we toured 5-6 months at a time. You know, I would be gone and just, that's it. I've been doing it for a few years. And then back in 2000, and I think it was 2011, me and my wife, I was married. Had married, and I was like, we got a chihuahua, right? A small little chihuahua. They're still with me. And I left. We bought a first house in LA, right? When market crashed, it was cheap. It was like affordable. So I saved up money. We bought the house. And then I left on tour. We closed on the house. I painted for one room, like our bedroom, because it was a major fixer-upper. And I left on tour for 4 months. I seeded some grass in front. We got a chihuahua, and I left. So I came back 4 months later. I see my chihuahua is already big. I see the grass is tall. And I'm like, I'm going to miss my whole life if I'm going to continue touring. And I'm just going to blow it. You know, that's what's going to be my life. And then what? What if I can't tour anymore? What's going to happen? So I quit next day. So I said, you know what? I'm not doing it anymore. I'm out. So I quit the band. I stopped touring. Then I started joining cover bands locally, played things, did things, and, you know, performed and stuff like that. And then a friend of mine, a buddy of mine, he came and said, hey, I have a company, right, who is putting a boy band together, and they're looking for a manager. Do you want to do that? And I was like, all right, let's do it. So I jumped from playing guitar, like within a month, I became a manager of a boy band. And I had no connections in the industry. I had no idea what I'm doing. I'm like, you know, it's five kids and international kids too, because like three of them was from the United States. Two of them were from like Europe. And I'm like, all right, now what I do? So, you know, we need to figure out, we had some funding, we had some things, but like, let's figure out what we're going to do. And I started digging, right? Started grinding and digging. And within, you know, the band was together for like a couple of years. And, but what I achieved there is like, I grow their YouTube channel. So, cause I was trying to find, okay, I need to promote digitally, right? Everything's in the digital space. Everything is like going into digital marketing. I need to promote them, right? How do I do that? Like, I don't know anybody. So I started looking at people and starting to look into this, and I couldn't find out of everybody who was recommended to me, like, you know, who I met online, who I met people, I couldn't find one company that actually would do a good job. Everybody sucked. And it was a, such a, like, and I'm like, okay, so I have to do it myself. I have to freaking figure it out how to take this to the next level and how to make it good. So I started analyzing the data, started learning basic stuff. Within the year, I grew their YouTube channel to 100,000 subscribers. I got them like 600,000 followers on Instagram. It was real, right? It was all through ads and through advertising. So I learned how to, I never ran through the Facebook ads before. I'm like, all right, let's do this, let's do that. And I got them nominated for Teen Choice Awards just by using Twitter. So we got nomination there, and I booked them tours. So we toured with Fifth Harmony, we toured with Ruth B, Troy Sivan, Bebe Rexha. We played with all these big artists, right? And it was all done by pretty much by me, right? I didn't have a team. I didn't have people who's going to do it with me. You know, like my wife would help me out. So we would be doing it together because it was just too much. But, you know, that's it. So I was like, all right, cool. That's possible. I was like, we're going to continue with the boy band. One Direction just broke up. We're going to be big. Then boy band decided that we're rock stars, solo artists, you know, so they jumped. They basically said, oh, I'm going to be solo artist and I'm going to be more successful. Years later, none of them is. They should have stayed in the band and we could have achieved something, but whatever. So, and then when they broke up, right, I was heartbroken because like I spent like a couple of years just working with them day and night and just building. And I was like, all right, now what? So what if my services would be needed by somebody else? You know, what if there's a magic loophole that nobody like has the company that actually can promote music and just focus on that? And turned out to be there is. So I started to get like, I went to, you know, people like, cause we did some promotions and things like that. So I met some people. So I went to them and was like, hey, I'm starting my digital marketing company and I want to grow artists. Some of them said like, oh, this is so stupid. There's so many digital marketing companies. It's just going to be one of, you know, 1,000. But some people said, you know what? I want to try it out. So here's the artist I have. So I have to, so I started doing that part, you know, and it's like, all right, cool. Like, I'm going to promote this artist. I'm going to promote this artist. And then artists started talking and then managers started talking. So that started to grow and it started to pick up more and more. And then a friend of mine, I became friends with from the boy band. I became good friends with Randy Jackson. So Randy and I became friends because he was like helping with the boy band. He really liked them and he was really into it. So he was the first one actually who introduced me to a record industry business. He introduces me to a guy named Rob, who was VP of Epic Records. And Randy had his band signed to them. So he introduced me to him. We sat down, we met somewhere like in, you know, at some bar or whatever. And he was like, I gotta try it out. I'm like, all right, cool. So we tried it out. He gave me his boy band or whatever. So I started working with them. And it was my first break into the industry. And then out of the blue, so I'm promoting artists, right? I have about 10 clients who I'm growing consistently, who I'm working with. I'm still not promoting music. I'm just growing artists, Instagram and YouTubes and things like that. I still haven't touched the music. And then all of a sudden, I get a call from a friend of mine, and he's like, have you met Mike Caron? And I'm like, no. He's like, we're going to go meet him. So I met with Mike, and it was intimidating because I read about him. And I don't know.
For reference, for people who are on the call or listen to the podcast who maybe don't know who he is, can you give a little context there?
Yeah, Mike is one of the most, I would say he's like, for me at least, right? He's one of like, he's the most influential person for me in the whole industry. And he was one of the most influential people for the whole, you know, for the music industry. He is, his way of thinking is completely different. He's a record executive, and he is Karen. It's C-A-R-E-N. And Mike is, he has a company called APG, Artist Partners Group, which he is doing, which he has artists. It's a label, it's a publishing company. It's one of the biggest, I would say, and the best publishing companies out there. And what he does, his way of thinking is completely different than everybody else. So he's always been ahead of the curve in the way that record industry follows him in the way. You know, so like they kind of like, you know, they're not necessarily like, he's not necessarily the only one, you know, there's big labels, big people, but he's one of the first people who try things. He's experimenting with stuff and he's like, yeah, he's a pioneer. That's right. So, and he's always trying new things. And, you know, so I met with him and we talked and he was like, hey, let's try an artist. Let's try to promote somebody. Let's try an artist to promote. Let's try and see where it's going to go. And he said, hey, I have an artist who just got signed. We're developing her and, you know, we're trying things out. So he gave me first artist, worked out. We started working together. And before Mike, right, before like that's the pioneering thing that I, you know, really looking into it, you know, like before Mike, before him hiring me to work on, be exclusive in his company and do all the digital advertising, nobody hired people in-house. Labels didn't, it wasn't a common practice of hiring people in-house. Everybody were kind of outsourcing, hiring like outside companies and trying things. And digital marketing wasn't that big yet. It was, but it's just coming up. And, you know, so he was the first one who actually hired me in-house, one of the first people. Probably not the first one, but one of the first ones. So he got me in and I've been promoting records with him with APG for a year. You know, so we promoted everybody. Everybody who was signed to the label we promoted, and we experimented a lot. So it was kind of like a way to learn things and be like, oh, let's try this. Oh, let's try that. Let's try this. Let's try that. And that's where I really tailored the way it's like, oh, cool. That's how you read analytics. That's how you read data. That's how you understand it. And while I was with Mike, I was like, all right, I need to take my skills farther because I'm really interested in data. So let me go and learn data science. So I studied, like, I went, all right, I'm going to dedicate a year to this and I'm going to study at MIT. So that's the school they took me. And they're like, all right, cool. We have this program for like a year that you can study projective marketing, predictive analytics, or vice versa. I don't remember anymore, but one of those. So, but what it does, it's like, basically it's showing you how to scale it up, how to understand the data, how to analyze it, how to put it all together and say, okay, this is where it's going. That's what's going on. But their program is tailored for businesses, right? So their program is tailored for how sale funnels work, how to sell things and stuff like that, which is cool. So I took the knowledge that I learned from them and I applied it to the music and it worked. So, and basically by studying the data and understanding where the record leading, you know, I've learned how to build records and I learned how to build songs. So, and then it's like, all right, I want to go, you know, continue my journey. So I want to become an independent. I want to have my own company. So I started that. And we started, you know, picking up clients and continue building. So, and which has led us to today. Today I run two businesses, successful businesses. One of them is Simple Social, which is, we just acquired advertising.me a year ago or so. So, and it was a small, tiny company that was doing stuff. I just really liked the name. And they were, you know, they were basically giving up on this. I'm like, all right, you know, I'm just going to pick it up and hold it. So we got that. And I'm still yet to use this domain for something. I'll figure it out. And I also have a company called SoundMe. So Sound is another cool feature because last 2 years, I think, back in 2020, I started getting into influencer marketing because it started to become big. Everybody wanted to do influencer marketing. And I was like, all right, I'm going to try it out. You know, again, I don't know. I haven't touched influencer marketing yet. It's so new. We'll try it out. So I went into trying to figure out how to make this work, how to get influencers. And I ran into a wall there, right? So basically what happened, I came into the situation was, okay, cool. I'm going to get influencers. So I'm going to go reach out to them and I'm going to go to the agencies that I know. Because people started asking, oh, I want an influencer on my song. I want an influencer on my song. Okay. And I ran into the situation that, okay, I have $5,000 to spend, right? Which is a big chunk, decent chunk for influencers. So I came to the agency. The agency said, oh, we're not sure. You know, like we'll see who's available. All right. So a week later, they come back to me. They give me two people And it's like, oh, this one has one something million. This one has like 2 million followers. I'm like, all right. So, and I'm like, who else? And it's like, that's it. You got to get two people posting. It's like, all right, what is it going to do? We don't know. Is it going to deliver me? Is my creative going to go viral? We don't know. They're going to post. And they're going to keep your post for a week. And then they're going to delete it. And you have to pay them $5,000. It's like, all right. So I went back to the client and they're like, yeah, let's do it. Whatever. We like them. Fine. So another 2 weeks go by and they haven't posted. So I'm like, what's going on? It's like, oh, they're busy with other stuff. They will post sometime next week. So 2 weeks go by, they post. The post went up. And at this point, 3 weeks went by. My song is already dead. There's absolutely no point of doing it anymore. I'm like, all right. So this is the influencer marketing currently. And I don't like it. It's not good. So I said, okay, what if we take a website, right? What if we build a website? We're powered by AI. And it was before AI was hot. I did it back in 2021, right? A year before it was hot. And we're powered by AI. And we're not going to negotiate with creators. We're going to get creators on the platform. And we're going to tell them, this is how much you're going to make. Take it or leave it. If you don't do it, then other people will do it and take your spot immediately. So it's going to become a rotating thing, like a revolving kind of thing. Some people said like, oh, it's funny. No, it's not going to work. It's never going to work. Why would they do it? They're making so much more money. Some people said, yeah, cool. Why not? Let's try it out. So I built it. It took me a year to build. We started in 2020 and 2021. No, 2021 we started. 2022 we went live in March of last year. So at this point, we're sitting on 1 million creators. So we just passed 1 million creators worldwide. So what we can do now with sound is I can say, I want to promote my song. Here's the sound. Here's what you need to do. Here's how much you're going to make. And here's my targeting. So right now we can target by city, by genre, by country, by age. And we can also target by their like cultural things, if you will, like if they're into hip hop or they're into pop, if they're into like, so it's a cultural breakdown to what they're most likely going to be into, right? And we promote songs. So you get posts right away. They know exactly how much they're going to make. They have to earn the money, right? So if the creator, we set up 2 bids, right? So the like basically positioning it just like digital advertising, right? So I would take just as the digital advertising would do, just using humans instead of the ad assets. So I set up the bid. I say, okay, I'm going to pay you minimum just to do this work, just to do this what I want you to do. I'm going to pay you $20 minimum. But if you perform to your standards, maximum I'm going to pay is $200, for example, right? And then AI determines in the middle, where is it going to land? So each creator is going to earn different money. Somebody can be 55-50. Somebody can 22-50, 22-75. So it's all breaking into those like matrix, right? And when they do it, right, when they perform, if they perform to the standard, to what AI allocated to them, they're going to make full amount of money. If they underperform, they're going to make less. In the next campaign, they're going to be less and less and less. But if they overperform, then they're going to make their maximum for this campaign. But the next campaign, they're going to make a little bit more. So it's incentive for them to grow and continue posting, continue doing things. And another cool thing that we can do it anywhere in the world. So I can say, my song is connecting in Brazil. I want Brazilian creators now. Click of a button, within an hour, I'm going to start getting people posting in Brazil. So United States, Canada, we have people everywhere. And we're growing really rapidly. So I think we're going to be past 1 million. We're growing anywhere from 1,000 to 10,000 people a day, every single day. Mm-hmm. And so new creators coming. So there's a big marketplace there. And we haven't even opened it up to the businesses yet. We haven't even let businesses to come in. And I think that would be an exciting part. This is something we're working on. I think what people are stuck in with businesses, right? They want to get into the point that like, here's my brand, right? I sell coffee. I sell watches, right? For example, here's influencers. I want influencers to say exactly what I want them to say. And I want it to be so pretty, so polished. I need to approve it. I need to approve it with the team multiple times. But I think this is the road to nowhere. And I think it needs to stop. And I think it will stop soon. I would rather get an opinion from a creator, but the honest opinion about what they really think. If they don't like my watch, that's fine. at least I know that they don't like it. If they're going to say, I mean, I don't want it to trash, of course. I don't want them to trash my brand. But I want to say, like, hey, I tried this watch. It's cool, but it's not for me. This is not, doesn't fit my style, doesn't fit my vibe, but it's going to fit some other people. And this is going to allow them to be honest, and people are going to trust them like more in this and look at this and be like, hey, like, she doesn't like this watch, but I kind of dig it. It's kind of cool. I'm going to buy this. But it's honest, right? And I also feel that what we have in sound, and I feel what, because we're trying to be, you know, we're trying to be innovative as well. And we're trying to be the first one. I always try to be the first one in everything because it's important. And I think with sound, what we're doing is in shifting it, we're shifting more in micro and macro creators, which allows you to get, I would rather trust a girl or a guy who has less followers, but being direct with me and being honest with me versus of having polished Barbie in cans who I know got paid for this. So, and I think that's the difference. I think that's where it's gonna lead and it's gonna shift.
Man, I would love to, and thank you so much for all of that. So exciting. Have so many questions. I'd love to double click a little bit on this sound.me, because TikTok really, from my perspective as a songwriter, it's been the biggest needle mover for independent artists that I've worked with to get songs performing and streaming and buying tickets to their shows at a level mm-hmm. that I've not seen any of the other platforms do. So there's definitely something to it. How do you measure, or you encourage your creators to measure ROI on this type of a thing? What are the different kind of metrics that you're tracking? Is it all driving to streams? Is it driving just to build their profiles? Maybe speak a little bit to how that works.
The thing is, with influencer marketing, we cannot drive to anything. Right? We cannot drive to Spotify, unfortunately. We cannot drive to anything because TikTok's not allowing us, right? So like they tried it, but then it was abused pretty instantly. So you cannot swipe up links anymore, unfortunately. I wish we could, because that would be like a game changer. And TikTok, it shifted, right? So back from 2020, 2021, 2019 even, when we used to break records on TikTok, it doesn't happen anymore as easy. Right? There's still records break, there's still things happen, but it doesn't happen as easy as it used to be. So I feel like right now there are trends that are happening, right? TikTok is still happening. TikTok people still running it, of course, and they're going to run it for a long, long time. But I would say simple trends, that's what works. And keeping it simple is the much more important than anything else, because people come with crazy dances, right? And they're like, oh, I want them to dance on the street in the middle of New York. And it's just like, who would do that? Why would somebody go in the middle of the street in New York and dance? That's cool, though, don't take me wrong. And there's some trends that do go viral because of that. But it hasn't happened in a minute. So right now, like, everything changes, right? Algorithmic changes. TikTok looking at things differently. TikTok about to release TikTok music. Right. So this is going to come out next year, and TikTok music is going to completely shift again. And, you know, I had a call with them a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, the TikTok music is going to be exciting because they probably going to combine it somehow with actual TikTok, which is would be cool. So it's going to drive steam, going to drive views. But until then, it's just like, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. So, but making it simple and keep it trend simple, that's what helps a lot. When we build it, the idea of this and the goal is to build awareness around the artist and get people to hopefully spark the trend and hopefully keep picking it up and hopefully keep moving it farther. But it's all about trying multiple things. I think that's what I find even moves the needle now. Like, you know, we can deliver a lot of UGCs, and I've delivered 30,000-40,000 people posting in the sound, and those songs did go viral and they did pick up and, you know, blow up, but there's cases that they didn't. So it's about people. It all comes down to the song. You know, you as a producer and, you know, a songwriter, you would know. It all comes down to the song. If people like the song, if people don't like your song, it doesn't matter how much money I spend on this and how many influencers I'm going to bring to it. If people not connecting with the music, it's just no point. You know, it's not going to go anywhere. But if it does, then it's actually going to, you know, it's going to actually make a difference. Right. And people are going to take it farther and farther. And I've seen it in multiple cases. I actually had a first case, which was really interesting. Oh yeah, another thing that moves the needle too. Sorry, I'm gonna jump back for a second.
Yeah.
Artists, I think artists should stop choosing their fans and should stop deciding, this is who my fans are. They don't know. Nobody knows anymore. You know, it's a whole world open up to you. So you don't know who your fans are. I had a record that broke in Philippines, hip-hop record that broke in Philippines. And we have like 1.9 million creates on TikTok, just in Philippines. Why? I don't know. They liked it. But the artist was like, oh, no, I need New York vibe. I need this vibe, this vibe. It's like, that's great, but people in Philippines like your song. What can I do? They like it. You know, like, just take it. Just take your hit record in the Philippines. I don't care. And they should stop choosing, because artists think they know. But in reality, they don't. In reality, nobody knows. You know, and you have to kind of learn about where it's connecting first, right? And then just amplify that and bring, you know, records don't break in the United States many times. It breaks outside. You can bring it over here. It's not a big deal. So, yeah. So to me, it would be like, keep it simple. Try different trends too. People using CapCuts a lot lately. People using filters a lot. There's so many filters on TikTok that people just make that you can attach any song to. And I've seen it happen multiple times. And those filters, they dead. Like, nobody's using them. If your song is about birds, I'm sure there's a filter out there that's like, turns you into a bird or something, you know, use that. Like, you know, I mean, there's so many, there's like hundreds of thousands of them that have no traction whatsoever.
For sure. And would you say, in terms of somebody who is planning to put out, you know, we always preach on it's a singles game. You got to just put music out, then put more out, then put more out, then put more out. If you want to stay on the radar, the consistency as an artist is really important. So, do you kind of suggest, if somebody's an independent artist out there, do you sort of just suggest like setting an X amount of budget per and just promoting each of them equally? And then if something starts popping off, you just pour more into that? Or how do you think of it or advise in terms of a, you know, if somebody's coming from an independent place?
Can I throw a little promo for myself real quick?
Yeah, of course. We definitely want to hear how people can work with you, for sure.
I just started a YouTube channel not too long ago, and I'm still learning, because like, and I actually want to like dive in into this for a second, if it's okay, because like, you know, yeah. I learned so much in just doing it. I started doing it in August, right? And my YouTube channel, it's at Simple Social. It's Simple Social, and it's Alex Akimov, so you'll find it. It's there. It's a brand new channel. I just started it 3 months ago, so I'm trying to grow it and trying to do this. And but I that's what channel is dedicated to. So it's advices. It's about how to promote your music, how to do it efficiently, what you can achieve with this. So what I would say with the budgets, right, it's always about understanding your fans, right? So the way I would break the budget. So let's say artist comes to me and says, okay, I have $1,000 to allocate to promote a song, right? So the first thing what I would do,
Sorry, I was pulling up your YouTube channel. So
that's me.
We'll make sure to share it with the group.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. So what I would do, I would take $1,000 and I would do social listening. Social listening is something that you go into and you analyze every single platform, right? But if the artist is brand new and you listen to what, like, you know, what people saying, either positive talking, either negative talking, what they're saying and how they're saying, so you can tailor your brand to what's needed, right? So that's social listening, basics of it. But if it's a brand new artist, what are we social listen, right? Like, who we're gonna go to? I have no fans, I have nothing going on. So what I would dive into is I would dive into similar artists and understand them. So if I'm targeting, let's say I'm going to go after Billie Eilish, Ava Max, Olivia Rodrigo, and Selena Gomez, right? I'm going to listen and understand where people talk about them the most and decide, okay, cool. They're talking positively about Selena on Snapchat. So what it means, if I'm going to start putting ads on Snapchat, I'm going to target Selena Gomez as a similar artist. And then I'm going to find another like 20 or 30 and I'm going to go after them. Cool. They're talking about Ava Max really positively on Instagram. Okay. So Ava, Dua Lipa, you know, who else? Camila Cabello, for example, right? So I'll take those three and I'm going to go listen to them as well, understand their data as well. And if they're similar, Instagram talks about them a lot and positively. So let's go on Instagram when we target those artists, right? And then the third one is we're going to go into see where they're talking on Facebook, if they do, you know, because Facebook still surprisingly moves the needle on some artists, believe it or not. still does. So, or they're talking about TikTok, or they're talking where they're connecting with the artist the most. And to allocate it, so let's say I have 1,000 followers on TikTok, right? 5,000 followers on TikTok, 1,000 followers on Instagram, and 500 subscribers on YouTube. So the way I would break it down, majority of my budget is going to go towards TikTok, right? Because that's where I have fans. Why would I go? I would go the least resistance to start, right? But I wouldn't run dark ads on TikTok. I would boost my posts because TikTok is facing big wall, like they're hitting the wall with their ads. Their ads just don't work. But the boost.
Can you explain the difference with dark ads on TikTok?
Yeah, dark ad is something that you run through the business ads manager. And this is something that is not necessarily has to be posted on artist's profile. It can go as an ad, still be served to people, but it shows as just a piece of content that disappears after you finish the ad. Boost is something that you go, you take the code from under the post, that's something that artist posted, and you boost it. So for some reason, whatever's happened with TikTok's AI and their technology, ads do not work. Maybe the audience, in my opinion, that's like, audience is not tailored to the ads. They don't like ads. They don't want ads. So they just don't pay attention to it. But Boost doesn't seem like an ad. Boost seems like an extension of what artist already posted. So Boost worked for me all the time. Ads never. So I always boost things. And so my majority of my budget, so let's say 40% is going to go towards TikTok, right? Then I have 500 followers on Instagram. Cool. I'm going to take another like 20%, $200, and I'm going to put it towards Instagram. And then the third one is YouTube. But YouTube, if I have a music video and if I have visual content, I would always treat YouTube as equal with my main platform. Like, so I would put same exact amount of money as I'm going to put to the main platform towards YouTube. And why? Because people are very connecting with visual. People don't like pictures. People don't like, people like visual. People like seeing the artist and connecting with them. So that's what moves the needle. And YouTube is a platform to do that on, right? So that's how I would break my budget down. And then if I'm going to go into content, right, let's say I dive in into content, what kind of content, what kind of assets to use, right? So that's where the nerd stuff comes out of me. You pressed on the button.
Hey, I love it. It's you're dropping a lot of gold nuggets here, and I hope people are following along and go back and re-listen to this as well.
So if I look at the content, right? So let's say, and I just did a post about it on my channel, right? So if I look at what kind of content I'm gonna use, right? So there's so many options I have. I have music video, I have this, right? Learn your fans. Always analyze your fans and always look at them and say, okay, my fans are following Billie Eilish. You know, what are Billie Eilish fans are into? They're into, like, they're mainly females, they're into shopping, right? So what they see a lot of ads already. They have tons of ads dropping on them all the time. Everybody does, right? So what kind of ads they into? What kind of stuff they into? Oh, they are into, you know, Sephora. So let's take a look at what kind of ads Sephora runs and do similar content for our ad because they already tailored to this. They already used to seeing this ad. Let's say my fans are into, I don't know, into bicycles, right? Or into motorbikes. So the best way to reach them is to put the motorbike in the thing because this is going to look familiar. It's going to spark their interest and they're going to click on this more, you know, more likely and listen to it because this is something that they're into. So find find what your fans are into. That's the most important thing for the asset. And growing YouTube vlogs and music videos is completely different thing. It's like day and night. I trend videos on YouTube like on a weekly basis. I have like all the YouTube training, you know, at least like 4 to 7 artists of those I promote. But every single week, but YouTube vlogs is completely opposite. It's just day and night. So if you're doing like, so the suggestion for the artists that I've learned, if you're doing music videos and vlogging, separate them by channels. Don't put it in the same channel because it's just going to be a complete, you know, or do it, but do it like strategically. So you have to be so strategic with this. That's like, it's not going to because it's a completely different promotion, completely different asset, completely different thing.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Made It in Music podcast. Make sure to check out our other episodes. We have well over 100 interviews with some of the top music industry pros, many here in Nashville and many from all over the world. Subscribe to make sure that you automatically get future episodes and leave us a review if you loved it. It would really help us out. Or send an email to support@fullcirclemusic.com if you have ideas for how we can improve the show. See you in the next episode.